Irvin Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. This is Don Nikoloff, your host. Tonight, we don't have a special guest in the studio. However, we have a special guest, and that's going to be my music. And I'm going to tell a few stories tonight and try to round out a bit about who I am as a musician. On my very first show, those of you who heard my inaugural show a few weeks ago, you will recall that I mentioned that I am a musician, that I'm a music composer and producer, and I've had a number of friends ask me if I wouldn't share some of my music on the show. And it seemed like something to do, although there have been some pressing issues in regard to what's going on in the world, things that I felt needed to be addressed. And some of my guests also felt the same way. And so we discussed a variety of topics, some related to politics, some related to the New World Order, 9/11. We talked about suppressed scientific inventions and advancements in technology that are being generally kept from the public, while they bombard us with ever-increasing oil prices. Of course, most of us, it affects our gasoline prices. Not many of us are using crude oil, or petroleum, as it's called. And we talked about things like chemtrails, the poisons and toxins in our food, and we're going to keep talking about those things. Now, to get into something a bit more positive and spiritually nourishing, I thought I would talk a little bit about some of my music. Some of you who know me from prior broadcasts know that I have been working on a CD of original music. It's actually going to be my third solo project. I did two when I was in Europe that were quite successful. They haven't been made available in the United States, although I currently or recently found out that my publisher is currently in the United States and may be here for good. So there's a possibility that my older recordings will be released on CD. Back then, we didn't have CD, and I was forced to use the LP and 45 version. Now, with the new changes in technology, I'm actually able to record tons of music in my own studio. And, of course, I work with a lot of other musicians throughout my career, and that's given me the opportunity also to record in many fine studios around the country. And I've also designed some studios, rebuilt some studios, redesigned the electronics and the general way in which the studios function. And with the digital technology we have today, that really opens up lots of possibilities for many of the producers or artists that are up and coming and find it very difficult to get a contract with the major labels. Part of the reason for that is the record companies sometimes operate, especially in the areas of pop music, much like the mainstream media. And the music and the artists are very controlled. They have reasons why they pick certain styles of music to become hits, certain artists become hits, and then we see these people fall flat on their face later on in the news stories, because we are being conditioned to be built up and then let down constantly. And my approach to music has always been and will continue to be one of a more aesthetic approach. And we'll say that the art form is first in my consideration when I'm composing a piece. I also delve into healing music, and anyone who likes music or loves music knows that music can be very inspirational, can be very relaxing, very soothing, very healing, and there is a supernatural process that occurs in music when the music has been composed and a person can attune themselves and their energies, their etheric energies and their aura and even in ways that science can't explain. And yet those of us who play the music and those of us who respond to this music know full well that there's something supernatural going on. And I really the opinions of science or what science tell us about music's ability to heal. Those of us who have experienced healing know that it's a valid experience. We don't necessarily have to know how to fly an airplane or ride in an airplane. I mean, build an airplane to ride in it or fly in it. We leave that up to the airline designers, the mechanics, the engineers, the people that work on making it possible for an airplane to be built and to fly. And likewise, it's not up to the listener to understand everything that's going on, though I try my best to inform the listener as to certain types of music can damage your psyche, can damage your mental processes, and even cause illness. And the powers that be know that the improper style of music, or music that is played too loudly, or is violating natural laws, has a tendency to induce illness, or to induce some unstable situation, possibly in the mental body, and it can induce depression. Music can incite someone to go to war and kill. So depending on the style of music and the purpose of the music, it can produce a variety of results. My personal experience in life has taught me to seek inspiration in my experiences that I can translate into music. And I want to share a story, short story with you, and then I'm going to play a piece that was multifaceted in its purpose, why it was written, what the story was behind it, and what I achieved for myself by composing this piece of music. Because it brought about healing. Now, some time ago, when I was living in California, I had a next-door neighbor who was a third-grade school teacher, and we won't embarrass him by mentioning his name. He had a pet Labrador retriever, a female, and she had been abused. We were unaware of the abuse, and when I say we, the neighbors, were unaware that this abuse was going on because his dog would be left in the backyard during the day, and we assumed that there was food and water there because there were a couple of bowls near where she was tied up. But she wasn't free to run around. The yard wasn't fenced in, so he had a stake in the ground and it had attached a lead or a rope to this stake. So she couldn't move very far. If it rained, she got rained on. If the sun was beating down and we were experiencing during those days temperatures as high as 120 degrees for days in a row, even at night it was quite hot. What we were unaware of is that for extended periods of time, this neighbor would leave the dog unattended, unfed, unwatered, as much as a week at a time. And we had discovered this over a 4th of July weekend. And so realizing what had happened, and the proper thing to do would be to try to assist the dog and then alert the authorities, which we did. We called the Department of Animal Regulation and reported that this dog was definitely being abused. She had a tremendous fever. She was flea-ridden, had ticks, and was suffering from dehydration as well. So they came and investigated, and they left a notice on his front door for him to contact the animal shelter, and they were going to hold the dog in a cage. I put myself on a list to take possession of the dog should he decide that he wasn't going to pay the fine. Now, he was fined $100 on the spot, and for him to take the dog back, he had to pay this $100. But they had this crazy law in California, particularly in Los Angeles County. I don't know if it applied to the whole state, but in the event that he decided that he didn't want to keep the dog, they had the option to put the dog to sleep, and he wouldn't have to pay the $100 fine. So, in other words, to avoid paying a $100 fine for something that he created, something he caused, and was the basis for animal abuse, he could get out of the whole mess just by saying, "I don't want the dog anymore," and be exonerated from the fine. I found it absurd that this would even be considered, that someone had actually created that law. So I made myself a bit outspoken, and I assured the people from the Department of Animal Regulation in Los Angeles County that I would be contacting the media, the television and the radio and the newspapers, and I would get the message out that this had occurred and that these laws should be changed, and that abuse is abuse and it should not go overlooked. Now, they make a big deal today about animal fights, about dog fights, and of course Michael Vick, the football player, is going to do some serious prison time for his participation in inducing animals to fight each other, not excluding the abuse that allegedly occurred to these animals. So I have a great respect for nature, a great respect for animals, and I decided that I was going to take this dog into my possession. Well, needless to say, the threats to go to the media scared them enough that they put me on the top of a list to adopt the dog. I paid for her board, for her food, and she needed some veterinary treatment, and I assured them that I would do that. I preferred to choose a veterinarian of my choice, and I would provide them with proof that I had actually sought medical attention for the dog. She was so badly abused that the inner ears, both of her inner ears, had basically deteriorated, and it was going to cost a lot of money, more money than I had in expendable cash at the time, to pay for this operation. And I tried everything that I knew, all types of herbal remedies, things that I could add to the food to improve her health. And she did improve quite a bit. The infection receded. The problems with her ear almost went away, but just like a rabid disease, it flared up one night after, let's say, about a year, and she was on the downturn very rapidly, and in a lot of pain, a lot of misery. She would wake up scratching herself and whining and crying, and it was just heart-wrenching to see this animal go through this torture. So I had to make the decision to put her to sleep, and I did it begrudgingly. I did it after lots of prayer, lots of contemplation, and I decided, you know, how I feel is not important right now. I have to end this animal's suffering, and to have her inner ears removed to stop this problem, to me, seemed like it was just going to compound an already very serious health issue. So I talked to her, I petted her, and I explained to her what I was going to do, and I spoke from the heart, and she understood. I took her to the vet, and I held her in my arms as the vet gave her a shot to put her to sleep. And I felt the life leave from her body, and it just broke my heart that I had made the decision to end the life of another living creature. Didn't matter to me if it was an animal or a person. It touched me so profoundly that I just burst out in tears, and I don't even remember leaving the vet's office. I know that I was bawling like a baby, and I probably cried solid for a week. I just couldn't get it out of my system that I had been forced to make this decision. Even though it ended her suffering, it just broke my heart that I had participated in that. And then maybe about 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, I thought, well, the best thing for me to do would be to compose a song for her. And I had named her Bonnie when I took ownership of her. It seemed like that should have been her real name. And so I composed a song for her, and I called it Bonnie's Ballad. And for me, it was healing. It was difficult to play the song because even while I composed it, I bawled like a baby. And I would play for other people, and those who knew Bonnie and those who knew me knew how much this whole event had touched me. And many people couldn't listen to it without bawling. I'm going to play it for you, and I actually did two arrangements, and I'm going to play the introduction, which is basically a piano interlude, and then I'm going to play the version that I felt I should present to her, and I know that she's listening. She can hear this music every time I play it, and I just want to I want my listeners to put themselves in a similar situation that you may have faced where you had to put one of your own pets down or you found out that maybe a dog or a cat had died in the yard while you weren't really paying attention or just became suddenly ill like Bonnie did and you had to make the same type of decision. And hopefully you will feel some peace in this because to me this is a very, very spiritual song, and I would say in many ways it's sacred because I did achieve a certain amount of healing from it. So this is Bonnie's Ballad. Thank you. Ballad. So hopefully I didn't bore anyone. And if you'd like to comment on the song or call in and share one of your experiences, of course, you're welcome to contact BBS Radio. And those of you on the website, you can see the numbers right there on your screen. And I'll read them off to you in case you want to give me a quick call and share an experience, or maybe give me some support, give me some feedback. No audio feedback, though. The toll-free numbers are area code 888-228-4494. That's both for the U.S. and Canada. Also, we have a worldwide toll-free number, 877-489-6350. And three numbers, which are our direct lines, all with the area code 530. Those numbers are 776-5154, 776-5185, and 876-9916. And so you can see that that's a pretty complex song, and I dealt with a lot of emotion. And that's a very interesting word, emotion, because when we emote, we project outward. Of course, when we don't have control of our emotions, it's definitely a sign that there may be something wrong within, and we have an excess of negative energy building up that just has to explode, sometimes like a volcano. And so we express it in terms of anger or extreme sadness. Some people get very violent, and some people become very withdrawn. Sadness takes different forms too, because some people become very introverted and quiet, and they shut themselves off from everyone else. So when I wrote this song, my sole purpose in writing it was to give something to Bonnie, to give something to the animal whose life whose demise I played a part in. It's considered an altruistic event, a sacred event in a way, when euthanasia takes the place of needless suffering. And although on a soul level, the soul learns from the suffering, I really think that the better part of our human wisdom needs to intervene in cases like that, where the animal, his or herself, is really not capable of making that decision. And I have to tell you, there must have been something on a cosmic level that was really troubling me, that I would have been so sensitive. She wasn't the first animal that I had lost, but I had lost other pets through natural events. And I have to say that the significance of having made that decision was weighed very heavily on my heart. But it provoked some rather interesting music. And I hope to have that song on my next album, which is going to be called Spirals, by the way. And Spirals, to me, means a lot of different things. When I think of a spiral, I think of some of the pictures of the cosmos and the different galaxies that we've been able to capture on the Hubble telescope that show just incredible sights, incredible arrangements of stars, incredible colors, and different planets. And when I say stars, you know, I could say suns as well. My website has such a photograph on the homepage at directlightproductions.com. I used that that spiral galaxy to sort of emulate the fact that really life and energy is constantly moving, it's constantly spiraling. Even our DNA is in a spiral shape, and it's quite interesting that when I wrote the songs for my CD, I had a multiple ideas that were related to different events in my life, but I always kept this feeling of this image of spirals in the back of my mind, and that somehow all this music ties together in a way. And I'd like to play another song from the album. Now, this is not mastered yet, but it's not a bad recording, and I thought I would share this with you and, again, get your opinion. Of course, if anyone wants to call in, by all means do. I'll be happy to take your call. I want to play a song that I wrote being inspired by a Caribbean sunrise, and I entitled it that, Caribbean Sunrise. Again, I'm playing all the instruments in this piece, and I'm actually doing all the singing, too. Hope you enjoy it. Sunrise. And that's Caribbean Sunrise, and I hope you like that song. Got a variety of styles, and I have one more that I think I'm going to play, and it's in response to the war on terror, of all things, if I can bring that topic up at such a sacred moment. My take on the war on terror was very similar to many others until we figured out exclusively what was going on, and that the war on terror was actually created by the powers that be to put us in a very unnatural situation where we were going to fear having our rights taken away, and that's basically what's been going on ever since. And I wrote a song which I attributed to the bad man, the boogeyman, so to speak, involved in the war on terror. And he goes by the name Osama bin Laden. And there's speculation that bin Laden has died a number of years ago, possibly as far back as December of 2001, from kidney failure. And as a result, as a result of his presence in the war on terror in the beginning after 9/11, I was inspired to write this song, and I borrowed a theme from the group The Guess Who. So the music itself, as far as the theme of the melody and the chords, comes from the song American Woman. This is really a parody on the character Osama bin Laden, and it's a way to address how we feel. Now, there's some interesting instrumentation here, because I intentionally put some instruments in there that are not found in traditional Arabic music, and the song has a little bit of an Arabic type of arrangement, but I used Indian instruments, which are very soothing and very healing as a background. So there's a bit of musical sarcasm in the arrangement. I thought you might like to hear this song. Before I play it, I would like to give a shout out to several devoted listeners across the country. John in California. John's been emailing me about the show. He's been enjoying the guests and the subjects that we've covered, and is appreciative of hearing the truth. And so I'm appreciative of John's support. And he's been telling a lot of people about the show and getting them to tune in. And we depend on the listeners to spread the word for us. We can't do it all ourselves. So I'm grateful to John. Michael in New York has been listening quite a bit and responding. Some of the people from Ron Paul's support groups have begun listening and visiting my website and are taking notice of some of the writings that I've done. And I want to thank them. Marianne in Arkansas. Marianne has been a guest on the show, Marianne Ponder. And, of course, there is a group, and I'm going to try to remember all the names off the top of my head. We have Sheila, Bob, and Bill, David, Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, and Jill, and the General from Project Alliance. I want to thank all those folks for supporting my efforts and the show, and I hope you're enjoying the music if you're able to listen to it tonight. I know you're quite busy and you've got a big job to do, and I appreciate you listening in. And anyone whose name I forgot to mention, know that you're in my heart, and I'll try to make amends during the next show. Now here is the song Osama bin Laden. Doesn't seem like such a dangerous boogeyman after listening to that, does he? Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. Those are just a couple of cuts from my new album. Of course, again, I repeat, they're not mastered, so they're going to sound quite a bit better. And, of course, you're listening to them over Skype, which is not necessarily the best way. Will sound much better being played from the studio. Anyway, I thought I would just try to uplift the spirits of this show one night. We're going to have more musicians on the show in the near future. In fact, I'm working on getting Carolyn Waters on. Carolyn's music is already played on the BBS radio music station, as well as the other stations when music is being played and there's no regular programming going on. She's a great singer, fantastic singer, great composer and keyboardist as well. And I'm looking forward to talking about her music and turning the listening audience onto her. If you haven't checked her out yet, you can go to carolynwaters.com. It's very inspirational music. And she's got some of the best studio musicians in the world performing on her recording and probably on a lot of her live gigs, too. So that's one example. We're going to have Jim Murray later on in the week describing some of the work he's doing in the area of energy, power development, and how to make more power at the back end than it's coming in at the front end. It's a very interesting a device he created called the Dynaflux Generator. And Jim is going to be continuing the saga of how he got into that and the impact he hopes it creates around the world when this invention comes out. We're working on getting that invention out soon. And hopefully that's going to occur very, very soon based on people that are quite interested in seeing that project move forward. We will be discussing also this week in a later show, later on in the week, the transpiring events in the Wantagate saga. And Wantagate is the story of one man raising $27.5 trillion that has been hijacked by certain powers in the federal government, and they're illegally using the money. I'm going to be sharing some just earth-shattering revelations. I could say that I've solved the Wantagate issue and the problem, and I'm going to be bringing that information forward to my listening audience, as well as in an article that's going to probably make the rounds around the world, both through the Idaho Observer as well as on various websites. So that's something to look forward to. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. It was just a little sample of some of my music. On another show, I'd like to be familiarizing you with some of the compositions that I'm going to be releasing through a publishing agreement with Dr. Len Horowitz. And this is music based on the perfect circle of sound and the new intonations that have been discovered through the Da Vinci Code. I have been using many of those long before I knew about the Da Vinci Code. And we are going to explore some of that. I'm also looking forward to having Dr. Horowitz on again soon to discuss not just that project, but some of his work in that area. So I want to thank you all for listening to Evident Footprints tonight. Again, I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow night. Peace, love, and light. Good night.